Disneyland. Amplifier Disneyland. Oh, that's pretty wild, though. That's a pretty good story. I like that. So I'm not going to ask you how much it costs, but I imagine it's not cheap, really. Because that tube isn't cheap, and human labor isn't cheap anymore, so I imagine that wasn't cheap.
Oh, you're no. You just had to remind me. Oh my God. But yeah, made in America. So yes, I'm at all, but the guy does really, really good work. And this thing is, you know, stuff he's working on, they're just built like tanks. The power supply alone, 65 pounds alone. When I picked up the box, he said, make sure you support that from the bottom. I said, why? It's just a power supply. He's like, nah, okay, this is really heavy.
Those old Henry amplifiers that came on stands and stuff like that, they had those big old heavy power supplies down below in the little cabinet area. Yeah, so that's a... Now, did you find out anything about the tube? Is this probably a used tube, I would imagine?
No, I can't remember if he said it was new or used. I really can't remember. I think he said it was used, but from where I'm from, I'm not sure all the story. Someone in the medical field, I guess they use equipment that, I don't know, use tubes, and they can only use them for so long, and then they have to put new tubes in that piece of equipment, so he gets all the old ones.
I don't even think they make that tube anymore. I could be wrong about that, but I don't even think they make that anymore.
I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. I think it is used, but I'm not quite sure because we were talking about that. But yeah, definitely, it wasn't on the cheap side, that's for sure. But man, he had tubes big tubes. I was like, what the hell is this supposed to go into? Just had him just laying around all over his pool table.
You should have shot him a game of pool for the cost of the amplifier.
Yeah, I know. But, well, I'm crappy at pool, so I definitely would have lost. But yeah, he's got a lot of big stuff in there. Yeah, like I was saying, he had his own shop, you know, and then things slowed down. I found a couple of reviews, older reviews on Eham about his amplifier, all 5 stars, you know, good reviews, built like a tank. Not too many of them. And he said that every, you know, one of these amps will, you know, come up for sale or a silent key or something like that, but you don't see too many of them floating around.
Well, what's the, can you mention his name over there?
Well, let's see, I'll email it to, yeah, his name is Richard. I don't remember his last name, but I'll email you his company and stuff, and then you can take it from there.
I wonder if he does any amp repair work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to tell you. Yeah, that's the guy that I took my Henry to get repaired. Yeah, work.
Good, because I don't need anything done personally at the moment myself, but I, over the course of a year, I probably have 10 people ask me, do you know anybody that repairs amplifiers, so...
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's definitely your guy.
Let's get this guy loaded up with stuff so he quits AT&T and gets back to business.
No, right? I was telling him, man, I don't know if anybody else, I want to... ...that repairs tube amplifiers except Island Amplifier, that's way down in Southern California. And they're backed up years before they can get any repair stuff done.
There's a guy that used to be on 533 all the time. His name was Dave. And he had a Heathkit SB220. And it had a problem, and he kept tracing through it for a year. And I'd send him information about how to troubleshoot and everything. And he just couldn't figure it out, so he found a guy finally that repaired it and did a really good job. I think the guy, if I remember right, he said the guy was in the Central Valley somewhere.
Email is on the way. I'm sure once you get the name, you can do some Googling. I didn't see a lot of info, but I did see a manual on the amplifier, and you'll probably dig up more information than I did. Stand by a second. I've got to order my fried chicken.
Thanks. That sounds like I'm not going to get in the way of that.
Would have a liquor store combo, then you can get your joy juice and your chicken at the same time. K6DJVO, pulling up to the window.
Right.
I was trying not to look like a pervert at the window.
What did they put in that chicken?
Whatever it is, it's not going to be worth $20 an hour. Did you see that story with Governor Pretty Hair did yesterday?
Already he had to do something that really upset his base of voters, which is he vetoed a bill that was going to take a lot of rights away from parents and from their kids in the state of California.
Boy, yeah. What is he doing? I think his hair gel has gone to his head.
Yeah, I just can't believe he passed that bill making fast food workers minimum wage, $20 an hour, starting in April next year.
Robots at McDonald's. You can bet that a lot of people are going to be out of a job, and they're going to have kiosks and all that kind of stuff going into these places.
You're absolutely right about that. They've been cutting back at my regular McDonald's. If I get there too early, well, they open at 6. And if I get there too early, there's one lady having to run the show because they can't afford to have two people.
I know that some fast food chains in California have already started reworking things, and they're trying out kiosks, and they're trying to figure out how to get the people out of the business.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, $20 an hour. And how did they work that deal where the regular minimum wage, it's $15.50 an hour. I don't know how that bill got through.
Maybe one of his cronies had a bad day at Burger King and decided the payback was in order.
My son needs a better job. Hey, don't worry about it. We'll just give him a raise. Thank you.
W-I-F-R-D.
Fred, are you going to transfer and go over to... Oh, I met one of your co-workers the other day. Are you going to go over to Wendy's and make $20 an hour over there?
How would I do that?
$20 for
starts with no responsibility.
Yeah, but then I'd smell like that stuff when I went home.
Guess that's true. I don't miss those days. Lady that works at the Vallejo Costco, she was telling me, yeah, I just celebrated 25 years. I said, oh, I got a friend. He's Fred. He works at the Fairfield Costco. I just told her that you're security. She said, what does he do? Is he a manager? I said, he's loss prevention. Funny.
Yeah. $20 an hour. You know, somewhere along the line, somebody got mixed up and decided that he should be able to make a good living flipping hamburgers. Those jobs used to be kids' jobs.
And I'm not supposed to support a family of three kids and pay a mortgage off Burger King?
You have to have the whole family working at Burger King to get that done.
Right, yeah, and you're right. That used to be a summer job, part-time job while you're in school or after school. Those are the teenagers' jobs. Wonder how they feel about that. They got pushed out of work thanks to the older people, the ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah, I wonder what In-N-Out Burger is going to do, because you go into one of those things, you got all these kids in there, younger kids working in there, they're all scrubbed up and shiny and everything, and you go into one of those places and they got about 20 people behind the counter doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right, I always liked those employees. They all remind me of cheerleaders from high school. They're always happy, they're always busy, yeah, they're good employees. I guess since the minimum wage is going up, either they're going to have to pay them more, or I don't know, maybe offer full-time benefits if they don't offer them already.
I have a feeling that those people in the In-N-Out are already making more than everybody else, so I don't know what they're going to do. But, you know, it's, I guess it's been working for them, but not everybody's in and out, you know.
That's true, K6DJB. And, you know, that's a good business model. They're paying for good employees, and they're paying more for the good employees to stay because they want good labor. Now that everybody else will be making $20 an hour, it's like, we don't care. We're still going to spit on your hamburger anyway.
I have never seen a unhappy person in an In-N-Out place. You walk in there, you walk up to the counter. What I have seen sometimes is counter people, you know, two of them will walk up to you at the same time. They both try and take your order. I mean, you know, it's like Heavenly Hamburgers. Nothing ever goes wrong at In-N-Out.
The Costco of the fast food industry.
Yeah. No, they're good. They're good. They kind of remind me of what most hamburger places used to be like back in the 50s and 60s.
Bright, clean, shiny, clean uniforms, clean cut, no tattoos, ready to go. Good customer service. Now what do you get? I always look at the arms of the employees sticking their arms out the window. Usually it's a lady. And I always like count all the tattoos on the arms. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'm not hungry anymore.
In fact, I watched a video today. And I think it was either Jack in the Box or Burger King. And so they show this video, and there's these two ladies at the window, and then they show this guy outside in a truck or something, and he was throwing all the food they just gave him out on the sidewalk. And I don't know what his problem was with the food, but, you know, you don't hear this guy. You just see him throwing all this food out next to the drive-up window. And then one of the ladies is sitting there jawboning with him through the window. And then the manager walks up, and just as she's walking up, she pulls this handgun out and goes up to the walk-up window, and he shoots the guy's car.
What? Oh, wow. Wow, that's crazy.
I thought that was kind of crazy. I've seen a lot of things, but I've never seen an angry fast food person pull out a handgun and give it a go on a customer's car. I don't think he hit this guy, but man, it's getting dangerous to grab a hamburger.
Right? Don't upset the chef, because you never know what you may get in the end. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I could see the customer, you know, crazy man throwing his food out, pulling out a gun, but someone working on the inside? Yeah, that's crazy.
Those people knew each other, probably husband and wife.
No, I don't think so. And the funny part about it was, she had that gun tucked away behind a belt in her pants. So she pulled that thing out of the back of her pants, whipped it out, you know, she dug it out of the back of her pants and whipped it out, just like, you know, just like some crook would do. I mean, you know, it's like, she didn't have it sitting on the counter and go over and pick it up. She pulled it out of her back of her pants. It was crazy. Like she was ready. The window, before she fired it, the guy saw she had a gun and he floored the vehicle. And, you know, it got maybe, I don't know, 5 feet or so past the window before she actually fired the gun and hit the back of the truck or something.
That's the kind of person we need at some of these grocery stores. And so they don't have to worry about smashing and grabbing anymore. She'll just whip out her gun out of her panty waist.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, yeah. You need her standing in front of the jewelry stores and whatnot. Oh my God. Now I've seen people, employees, for some reason, when people are going into these big box stores and just loading up carts and pushing them out the front door, on occasion, you'll see an employee that just can't take it and will start fighting with the person even though they're told not to interfere. I've seen a couple of big women, all of a sudden, they just can't take it anymore. And they get in front of these people and won't let them push the car outside, and they start fighting with them. And, you know, the kind of employees you'd like to have doing loss prevention in, you know, 10 years ago.
Right, yeah. A friend of mine got fired from Walmart. She had been working at Walmart for 30 years, and I guess at her particular store there is an imaginary line that you're not supposed to cross. There's a sidewalk, and if you go past the sidewalk, you end up getting fired. And she was following a shoplifter to get their license plate numbers. And, yep, got called into HR, immediately fired.
There's something crazy about Walmart.
Right. You know, on one side I was saying, you know what, it's not your stuff. You know, what are you doing? But then again, you know, like you said, you just get tired of it day in, day out, people just walking out. You know, that's
the bottom line. That's super shrinkage. So yeah, that actually works for Home Depot now.
You work now?
Home Depot.
Hey, well, that's better than Walmart anyway.
Right? I mean, what? 30 years at Walmart. It's like, oh my God. Should have been a postal employee, but yeah. You know, it's like you can't go after the shoplifters, but you know, people are getting tired of this. I mean, look at Target. They just shut down with a store in San Francisco, one in Oakland, one in Pittsburgh, and I think one in Portland, and one in Seattle.
They're getting tired of it, and I know Target's favorite thing to say about this is that we're shutting the door down, the doors down, and the main reason is that our customers and our employees don't feel safe anymore, and then they'll say something else, and at the very end they said, oh yeah, and high losses.
Where they throw that. Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, you can't, like I was saying, you gotta start protecting your own property. The insurance companies aren't going to continue to pay out after your store gets in. They're not gonna keep paying that out over and over again. So when they cover in your butt, you have to cover your own butt.
California, they don't let you. They don't let you manhandle somebody who's just creating a little misdemeanor like stealing $850 worth of stuff. Yeah, it's kind of sad. And then you see all the people in these neighborhoods. This place is up in and around Chicago where they don't even have a grocery store anymore. And you feel sorry for them because you know there's a lot of law-abiding citizens there, but there's a lot of other folks there that, you know, aren't good. And, yeah, so all of a sudden, you're living in this area and there's no grocery stores and people get upset and the politicians will call it racist and then the other people will just feel really bad about it, and a lot of them understand why the stores are leaving, but, you know, they call those desert islands or something like that.
Right. Oh, sorry. K6DJV, food desert. Yeah, I mean, look at San Francisco. Finally, old London breed me is finally starting to get tough on the whole fentanyl epidemic. Why? It's time for her to be reelected. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw that she changed her her thoughts about a lot of things, you know, maybe about 6 months ago, something like that. And basically it's because the tax base is eroding. I'm sure elections have something to do with it, but she finally got the idea that her tax base was eroding because all these, you know, I saw a video the other day, a guy walking right down Market Street and every store on both sides were shuttered closed. And the last time I was in Market Street, that was a thriving business area. And now, it's all boarded up and everything, so I think the most recent thing that she did, which was good, was she decided to get all the drug addicts off the street so people could have businesses again.
Yep, when you start offering, you know, free needles and your Narcans, you just make it convenient to do drugs over in San Francisco, and that just brings everybody from everywhere to do drugs in San Francisco. So yeah, the cat is out of the bag, the worm is out of the jar. Yeah, that's just a great big mess. It's time for some tough love, San Francisco.
So she's putting her foot down where it's affecting the city the most, I guess you could say. But she is taking some flack from her fellow travelers that don't understand why she's kicking the drug addicts out, you know. So, you know, she's taking a hit for all this, but I'm sure it's going to get her reelected.
Absolutely, yeah. She's going to have to get rid of that D on her name badge and maybe switch over to, you know, an R. Yeah, she's got to get stuff done. You know, she can't be hanging around with her good-time Democrat buddies that don't want the... You're hurting the... They have a disease. No, they have the... No, okay. Yeah, if they're getting government money every month, which I didn't know they were, and spending it on drugs, yeah, no, that's my tax-paying dollars right there, going up their noses or their arms or in their rear ends, wherever they put their fentanyls.
And some of those, couple of those high-profile murders that's happened there was not a good look either. I remember that one guy, he had some kind of online business, a big one. And he got murdered right on the street in broad daylight. People walking by, people driving by, and nobody went over to help him. And he just died right there in the middle of the street.
That's crazy. Yep. Welcome to San Francisco, the toilet by the bay. Yeah, something's got to get done. Because the city, as you can see, it can't function like this. Until, you know, there's a couple of smash and grabs at Google, you know, nothing's going to happen.
They would for sure not do anything if somebody went over and rousted the Twitter headquarters. They'd probably get out and have a parade about that.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Yes, X, formerly known as Twitter. Oh boy, yeah. Yeah, that's just crazy. Anywho, I gotta transfer these chicken, mechanically separated chicken parts inside. K6DJV, I'll be listening from the garage on the big radio. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, Derek, W1FRD.
Please enjoy your nuggies, or whatever they are, your chicken things. Enjoy, W6TKJ. Come trace.
Roger, Roger, 73. And Fred, where are you? I didn't know you were still there.
Just listening to you guys. No, I'm just got home.
Very nice. Maybe you'll have time to turn on the radio and have a little bit of fun. K6DJV, QRT, until I turn the radio back on inside.
Oh, wait. Ken said, where did the group on Tuesday go? He didn't hear them on the repeater anymore.
Say, what happens on Tuesday? Refresh my memory, sorry.
20 Tuesday, Simplex, then we meet over on the 220 repeater on Mount Diablo. That's Ken's repeater.
Oh, yeah, you know, well, my 220 antenna is in the back of the donkey. I just need to pull it out, but there's too many other antennas on top of it, so I'm lazy. So, yeah, once I pull that out and stick it up in the tree or something, then I'll be back for 220 Tuesday.
Very well. Get in there and eat them chickies. All right. 73.
Roger, yeah, I'll be back in about 5 minutes on the other radio. K6EJV, going west. Go away.
60JB.
No, I was sitting here in the garage.
We're both in the garage. Sorry about my signal. I'm pointing the wrong way. Remember, what's the new call sign of this repeater? W6AW? Or is it W6A uniform?
W6AW.
You're right, and I think someone else was underneath you, or unless that's the other repeater on the same frequency here. The Mount Toro repeater, or even better, the K6RET repeater out of Bakersfield. That you, Fred? Not.